I can bring home the bacon, fry it up in a pan, and never let you forget who I am, because I'm a woman. W-O-M-A-N. I'll say it again. Because I'm a woman. W-O-M-A-N. Welcome to Word of Mom Radio and the Mom Your Model Show. Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to Word of Mom Radio. This is the Mompreneur Model Show, and I'm your host, Dori DiCarlo. And you know we are here week after week with show after show, breaking those myths that mompreneurs just dabble in business in between bake sales and getting our nails done. We are smart business women finding that balance between building a business and raising a family. And when I talk about balance, I don't mean equality, because nothing is equal in life. And it is finding that way to juggle all of the balls that life throws at us, you know, fastball, curveball, slider, you name it. And then comes the knuckleball, and you just think you have them all under control, and you're up there and you're hitting off, you know, great pitches. No. Life is always going to throw you something different, and I'm really excited about having Dr. Christina Hibbert here with me today. She is the author of an excellent fabulous book called This Is How We Grow, and I want to give you a little background on her before I bring her here. As I said, she's the author, and she has won the Independent Publisher Book Award for her Amazon bestseller, This Is How We Grow. Dr. Hibbert is a clinical psychologist in private practice, and she specializes in women's mental health, grief and loss, motherhood, parenting, pregnancy, postpartum, self-esteem, self-worth, and personal growth. She's the founder of the Arizona Postpartum Wellness Coalition, and it's a not-for-profit organization, and she is a very popular and dynamic speaker. And I can't wait for her second book to come out, Who I Am Without You, 52 Ways to Build Self-Esteem After a Breakup and Learn to Love and Be Loved Again. And that's actually being published by New Harbinger Publications, and it'll be released in March of 2015. And she's about to begin writing her third book with Norton Publishing, 8 Keys to Mental Health Through Exercise. Mostly, though, Christy is a wife and a full-time mother of 6 energetic children, ages 18 to 6. And when she's not trying to keep up with her family, she enjoys traveling, songwriting, naps, and dark chocolate. She lives with her golf-loving dentist husband and children in Arizona. And with all that being said, I am so, as I said, thrilled and excited to have Dr. Christina Hibbert here on Word of Mom Radio. So, Christy, welcome to the Mompreneur Model Show. How are you today?
I'm doing great. I'm so excited to be here, Dori. Thanks for having me.
Oh, I'm thrilled to have you. And I have to tell you, I really, you know, I get to read so many books from different women that I'm sharing on the show. And I have so many books that I'm reading. I started a show on Wednesdays called The Author's Alley, where once a month I can actually pick a book and highlight it on our Author's Alley. But it's only a 30-minute podcast, and there was no way I wanted to squeeze you into 30 minutes.
Well, that's a compliment. Thank you for that.
Well, that, and I have to tell you, I am an avid reader. I love to read. And it is very rare for me to annotate a book.
Yeah.
But as I was reading your book, I found myself reaching for my pen to highlight different things that you wrote. And one of the things that I have shared over and over again, you know, it's funny, the book should actually fall open to it, and I'm surprised it hasn't, because I have quoted it to so many people since I started reading and finished this book. And it's acceptance doesn't mean that we like how things are or even that we agree with how things are. It simply means we are no longer willing to engage in a war with ourselves over how things are.
Yeah. I love that part, too, because I think we get caught up in, and forget it. We forget how to just focus on how things are. Yeah.
I agree. And you know, I would love for you to share what led you to writing this book? It's such an amazing story of grief and love and loss and everything else.
Well, thank you so much. And first of all, thank you. That's the best compliment I could get, that you would mark up the book. I'm an avid reader myself, and I almost always read with a pen in hand, often even when I'm reading novels, because I am an avid annotator, because I like to remember the great things that I hear in books. And to me, that's the best compliment I could receive. So thank you for that. Yes, this story came out of my real life, and I knew fairly soon after these events happened that I wanted to write it. In 2007, my sister died of an overdose of Tylenol and alcohol, and this was only 2 months after her husband had died, my brother-in-law, of skin cancer. And when she died, I was literally waiting to drive. I was driving down to Phoenix from Flagstaff. I live, 2 hours north up in the mountains in Flagstaff. I was driving down to teach a class on postpartum depression, which I kind of specialize in, and I was 8 months pregnant at the time, and I was driving when I got the call that my sister had died. And immediately my first words out of my mouth to my husband were, "Do you realize we just inherited two kids?" And here I was pregnant with my fourth baby, and we were just inheriting two kids. So we basically went from three kids to six kids in just a matter of weeks. And ironically, or I would say probably serendipitously, I specialize in pregnancy and postpartum mental health and women's mental health and parenting and in grief and loss. And all these things that I was, doing in my private practice as a psychologist, I suddenly was thrown into the midst of this just intense experience of trying to pull my family together, help my children grieve, help myself grieve, get through having a baby in the middle of all this and dealing with family members and relationships that were really difficult. And so it's kind of like, I had to put what I preach into practice a little bit. So that's kind of what the story is about. And I guess the reason behind wanting to actually write the book, a couple months into this whole experience, I kept writing my journal. I'm an avid journaler. I have been for my whole life. But at one point, it kind of shifted, and I started thinking, I really want to write this story. And I knew I'd always wanted to be an author, kind of a dream of mine, that someday when I have the time, I'd love to write a book about something. And I'd actually started writing a book before this one about my youngest sister. My youngest sister actually died when I was 18 and she was 8. She had cancer and she died. And I wanted originally to write her story. And so I'd begun kind of writing that family members and myself. But then when my other sister, Shannon, died, and Shannon and I are only 16 months apart, and so we were very close and it was very hard for me, I just still felt like I couldn't write that other book anymore. So at some point I realized this was probably the book I was going to be writing, that I was meant to be writing. And somewhere in my journal writing, I just started, keeping that in the back of my mind. And I started kind of writing on the side about whatever I was feeling or thinking about at the time. And eventually all of those writings became this story. So that's kind of how it came to be at first anyway.
It's funny because I love the journal style of writing and reading. I've always loved books that had that, and it goes back from when I was a kid, a teenager, reading Go Ask Alice.
Oh, uh-huh.
And I don't know if you ever read that book, but it's funny because I actually talked about it on yesterday's show, what a life-changing book that was for me. As a teenager growing up in that day and age of, sex, drugs, and rock and roll, and how it really, I was never somebody who was even curious about drugs and things like that. I mean, I watched all my friends. I did theater professionally since I was 12, so I watched everybody I knew do that kind of stuff, and it just never held any interest for me. But it made me such a fan of that genre because it gives you such a glimpse into somebody's soul, because when you're writing a journal, when you're journaling, you're not filtering your thoughts. You are truly just writing, And there's something so poignant about the things that you share. And one of the things that really grabs me is how often Dr. Hibbert would be giving Christy advice.
Yes.
How often you didn't listen.
Yes, I know. Because just because I have the good advice doesn't mean I'm going to listen to myself, of course. We all know that.
Amazing, isn't it? You know, we kind of look at this and heal thyself, and it's like, yeah, shut up.
Yeah, exactly. And there were times I said that to myself, like, shut up. I know better, but I'm not going to do better right now because I just can't. So,
See, it's funny. That's one of the things that engaged me so much about the book was your acceptance of the fact that, yeah, you might know better, but that doesn't mean right now that's going to help you. Because life is what it is. And to have to deal with everything in the sense of losing your brother-in-law, boom, losing your sister to such a horrible way, to inheriting two more children whom you dearly loved as nephews, who now become your sons, and then the birth of your daughter, which it kind of made me think of yours, mine, and ours. You know, and what a solidifying thing that had to be for your family.
Yeah.
You know, for the boys to stay there now, and I love that they were brothers. I just thought that was like such a cool thing, you know, but it's kind of remarkable how you went through all of this. And, you know, at one point you were talking about when it was coming up on Shannon's, the third anniversary of her death, and, you know, wondering when it gets better. And for all of us, I mean, my mom, it's going to be 21 years in January. It's like a sore tooth. It's that sore tooth that's fine until you hit it, and then it's like, oh, man, that hurts. And
that's a great way to put it.
Yeah, and it's amazing after all these years, there are still those moments that happen where it's just like, oh, wow, like it's that day, that moment, that, you know, and then for the most part, you just go on with your life, but boom, that sore tooth is there. And, you know, to have to be mommy, be Dr. Hibbert, be wife, be coach, be therapist, be writer, be this, be that, and still trying to be yourself through all of it, you know, I just applaud the journey that you share in all of this. I really do.
Yeah, thank you so much. There's a lot to it.
You're
People
welcome.
Used to ask me, what's the book about? And I'm like, well, you know, I kind of tell them the gist of the story part of it, but it's about so much because it's just because I did try to just keep it very realistic to what it was. And there was obviously a lot going on, like you're saying right now. And a lot that we went through, I mean, adoption and, you know, these, as you read the book, you know, the grandparents trying to stop us from adopting and, you know, just these crazy family relationships that we're trying to navigate too. So it really was a lot to go through and, you know, and in writing it, it was hard to pull it together and to know what was, you know, what was important to the story and what was just important to me because it was so emotional to me. So that was part of my writing experience was just trying to like tease through the journals and make them, you know, pick out the parts that I felt the reader would be most interested in. Because like you said, I really did, and I tried to write it in a different style without the journal style. But it just felt forced. It didn't feel authentic, and I wanted to keep it very, very real. And so I kept the journal style because I wanted people to feel like they were going through it with me. And that's what I've heard from people, is that they feel like, oh, my gosh, I feel like I was with you. Even in the minutia of my day of, you know, just taking care of six kids, I'm trying to wrap my head around being a mom of six. People are there with me. So, that's kind of what I was trying to get out in writing it in that style. And you're right, it was a lot to sort through and a lot going on for sure.
You know, it's funny because, and it's not funny, the saddest thing to me was the reaction of your brother-in-law's parents and the way they treated you and your husband. Yeah. And that is such a sorrowful thing to me because in their own grief, they have lost so much. And it never had to happen.
Yeah. It still makes me sad.
You know?
I mean, they're still estranged from from the boys, their grandsons that are my sons now, and now that they're getting older, my older son, who was my nephew, Trey, he is, you know, he's thinking of maybe trying to reform a relationship with them, but it's, you know, it's very difficult, and they've missed out on all these years, and to me, it's the saddest part of that is that they didn't realize that we weren't stopping them from doing that. They really, for whatever reason, they had it in their mind that it was our fault, and we never have stopped them, and it really is tragic because I do feel like, you know, if they could have been around and been healthy for the boys to be around, it could have been really good for them and for the kids. So.
Yeah, it does. It just, those are the things that make me so sad. You know, my children's father and I are divorced. You know, we've been divorced 20 years. We never went to court. We never went through any of that. We sat down at the kitchen table. And in his eyes, he was like, no, we're going to court. And I was like, wait a minute. I was like, we owe it to our children to be friends. And he was like, oh, how can we be friends? I was like, we have three kids. Of course we're going to be friends. And you know what? He's one of my best friends. It took a couple of years for him, even though he was the one who left to lick his wounds and things like that. But 20 years later, I mean, we celebrate birthdays together, holidays together. Our children never had to choose. And to me, as the grown-ups, you're the grown-ups. You put your big boy pants on, and you deal with things as a grown-up. Those children were not the pawns in the chess game between, you know, them and you. It is. It's so, it's sad, and I'm sorry to hear that it's still, you know, that way, because everybody deserves better. And thank God for your parents and for your husband's mom, and, I mean, his dad, I know. I mean, through all of this, all of the other losses, losing your father-in-law, losing, I mean, it's just remarkable.
It's crazy. We lost six family members in 2 years, and you know, and 2 years before that, I had lost my grandpa, and like I said, my little sister had died, and just recently, I know I told you a little bit of this, but just recently, a very good friend of mine took her life, and just a couple of months ago, and her daughter was here playing. She left her daughter here playing at the time, and you know, it's just, I don't understand why I've had so much death in my life, but I guess, you know, I'm kind of understanding that it's sure making me learn a lot about it and, you know, kind of have to go through it over and over. And someone sent me a really sweet message, someone I don't even know, but who follows me on my website and such. She sent me a message during this time when I was grieving again, my friend, just these past couple of months. And she said that she saw me as a mentor for others, you know, that I'm showing others how to go through it. And to me, I thought, wow, that is the greatest compliment I could receive. That I had never thought of it that way, but that others can look to me and say, oh, look, she's going through it. This is what she's doing. And that's what I tried to do in the book is show, this is just what I did. You do what you want, but this is what I did, and this is how it worked or didn't work. And what I tried to do in these upcoming books I'm writing is just kind of, you know, share some of the facts and then some of my own experience, because I do love that idea of, at least I, you know, if I'm going to have to go through it so many times, at least I can help a lot of other people know that they're not alone. And to me, you know, death is death, and not just death, but loss of all kinds, any kind of loss is the universal thing. It's, I mean, we all, if we haven't already, you're going to go through a major loss, if, you know, if not, well, obviously several major losses at some point. And so it's, you know, it's not like addiction or depression where, you know, a certain percentage of people might go through that, but not everybody. I mean, no, everybody's going to go through death and loss. So to me, it's something that we can all resonate with and relate to in some way, even if we're not there yet. So it makes me feel really good to know that my experiences can show others maybe some ways to get through their losses too.
Well, you know, I can absolutely empathize. I go through spurts in my life. I mean, at one point, I went about 5 years burying somebody every month and a half.
Oh, wow.
And in that was, you know, my grandmother and my mom less than a year later. I mean, my children are now 26, 24, and 22, and they've had so much loss in their life that, you know, and it's funny. I actually wrote a paper when I was in college about children and the grief process and how the adults in their life, they're going to learn what we model for them. And I learned at a very early age that people are born and people die and there's never a rhyme and a reason. I was very fortunate. My mother was sick for 2.5 years. I had the consolation prize of illness where I could thank God that she's in a better place and not suffering. My cousin lost her mom at 12 years old. They woke up, she was dead on the floor. She just died. Her heart was heart failure. Not a heart attack. Not any, it was heart failure. But, you know, I mean, my children just last year lost their grandfather. But their whole life, you know, they have lost so many people. And I just tell them all the time, I was like, and that's why. I said, when you look at that headstone, that dash is everything. Yeah. That's the most important thing, that little insignificant dash. So for however long God is going to bless you on this earth, just make the best dash you can. You know, and do something to make a difference. Yeah, because, and it is. I mean, you know, it's an amazing thing because, I mean, I've been with people when a dear friend of ours died, and I was holding the hands of people in their 40s who had never been to a funeral. It was their first funeral, and I was like, wow.
I know. I'm not even 40 yet. That's a crazy thing. Like, I'm only 39, so, yeah, I mean, I always am amazed, too, when there are people that are so blessed to really not have to do that. And in another way, I mean, as you can probably relate to, I mean, I feel like I have been blessed to be able to go through it, too. I mean, it's not what I would choose. I definitely still miss my sister dearly. I miss my brother-in-law. I miss my friend, everybody that passed on. But it's really forced me to have to grow in different ways. And that's why I titled the book, This Is How We Grow, because it is. I mean, these experiences you don't want at all and you would never wish on anybody are the ones that give you the most compassion and understanding and eventually – you know, love and joy and the really good things, too. You can really appreciate them so much more because of all you've been through, you know. So I'm grateful for that,
absolutely, too. And, you know, we have Amy here in the chat room, and her Twitter handle is Thank You Cancer. And she was saying that she lost her brother last year, and discovering your book really has helped her a lot. And which is a wonderful thing to hear because you want to know that what you're doing
Thank
makes
you.
A difference. You know?
Absolutely.
Yeah,
I
wanted to
that.
Share that. I asked her permission to make sure it would be okay with
thank you so much. And thank you. Tell Amy thank you for me. Yes.
No, she can hear you. She can hear
you.
She's
thank
you,
Amy. Thank you.
Yeah.
I'm grateful for that. I'm grateful for any feedback like that. Thank you.
Well, and you know, again, it's a wonderful thing to know that, you know, for you, I'm sure it was very cathartic writing the book and getting it out there. And then to get it out there and to... you know, be an award-winning author and to know that your book is making a difference for other people, it's got to be such icing on the cake, you know?
It really is. It's
still the dream.
You know, you asked I'm sorry to interrupt. You asked at the beginning, you know, how I kind of the process of writing the book or starting to write the book or the idea for it. But, you know, over time, as I kind of realized, I worked on it for 4 solid years from the time that I really, really knew, okay, I'm going to write this book. And at first it was sort of like, I'm going to write it, like you said, just I need to write this. I just felt like it made no sense to write it because, you know, I still had a baby. I still had 6 young kids at home. I was still trying to keep my head above water and figure it all out because it happened so quickly. I wasn't natural at being a mom of a large family, and it took a really long time to figure it out. So, you know, adding any kind of extra project, I had even quit seeing clients for 2 years. You know, I just didn't even do anything extra, any of my work on the side. My work was my family and trying to get myself and my family well. And then little by little, I started seeing clients a little bit here at my office. And then I started having this idea, okay, maybe I really am going to write this book. And at first it was just, okay, I'm going to do it to help myself heal. And so I would work on it like, a little bit every day. 10 minutes at night, I'd make myself write, and then write my journal. And then eventually it was, okay, I think I'm going to publish this book. And, you know, but I didn't tell anybody still because I was nervous about it. And I thought, I'll just, you know, publish it for myself and for my family, for my kids. Someday they'll have a story. And then eventually, you know, a good friend of mine actually encouraged me to admit you're really going to publish this. This could help a lot of people. And so eventually it was kind of this leap of faith for me, just, okay, I'm going to publish this book for real. And so it's been, you know, of course, very cathartic writing and very healing writing it, and I knew it would be. And I hoped that someday it would be helpful for my family and for my children, and that has happened too. I mean, just having it come out and being able to talk to even other family members like my mother-in-law and like sisters-in-law and my husband after they've read it to see, you know, we talk about things that we would have never talked about because they can see different, you know, my side of things and how it compares with how they experience things, and friends who've been able to, you know, call me up and say, gosh, I didn't understand, or I didn't know what was going on at the time, or, you know, we have these conversations. And my oldest son has read the book. He's just graduated high school. He's going off to college, and I didn't even know he'd read the book. But, you know, he said that he learned more compassion for me and for his brother that used to be my nephew that's now my son. You know, it's just been very healing in that way. But the thing that's been, you know, like you mentioned, that's been wonderful for me is I was not prepared to feel so so healed by the fact that the story was out of me and into a book. And so the fact that it's in that book, it just feels like it is in that book. And I can go read the story. And I've reread it a little bit here and there, not all of it, but just I reread part from time to time to kind of remind myself of things or when I want to remember things. But I love that it's out of me and in that book, and it's helping other people. So when I get these messages from people, you know, it's touched them in some way, that it's helped them. And it does. It doesn't even have to be from people experiencing loss and grief, but from people who've gone through adoption or people that have difficult relationships with family members or postpartum depression, that people are, you know, saying, this has really helped me feel like I'm not alone. It's just been such a wonderful experience to know that it's not only out of me, and it's healed me, it's healed my relationships, it's now going to hopefully help my kids heal, but also that it's touching other lives in that way. So that was a really long answer to that, but I you really hit the nail on the head. That's been the most wonderful part of this book for me.
As well it should be. You know, we're going to take a quick break. For those of you just calling in, I mean, just tuning in, we're here on Word of Mom Radio. We're going to open up our phone lines in case you'd like to ask Dr. Hibbert a question. Our number is 646-595-3163. And I just want to say thank you to our show sponsors today. Leslie Giselle is the founder of Order Out of Chaos, and she's a certified ADHD coach for teens and college students and an organizing specialist. She provides education tools, strategies, and support to help parents and students navigate school, home, and daily life. She conducts seminars and workshops for parents, teachers, and students on how ADHD, executive functioning, and related challenges impact students' behavior and performance while teaching students how to build effective organization and time management skills, establish successful study habits, and navigate their home and school life. Leslie is also the creator of the award-winning Academic Planner, a tool for time management, keeping students on task, on time, and on track, which gives students a natural way to visualize time so they can master it. So reach out to her at orderoochaos.com. I really encourage you to reach out. It's an amazing planner, and she's actually creating one working with the Diabetes Association to help diabetics better track their medications. So we thank her for being one of our show sponsors today, and also Safety First Bags. You need to travel. You need your laptop when you do, but do you really need to remove your laptop at every airport checkpoint? Not anymore. You can visit wordofmomradio.com/offer/ and find a discounted price and free shipping on these TSA-approved, checkpoint-friendly laptop bags. And that means that busy travelers no longer need to remove their laptop at airport checkpoints. So we encourage you to go there, and you can come to wordofmomradio.com and visit our Mompreneur Marketplace and meet all of the different sponsors here on Word of Mom Radio. So thank you to all of the amazing women who support our show. So we are back here live with Dr. Christina Hibbert. We are talking about her first book, This Is How We Grow. We're going to be talking about her second and third book that are going to be coming out, but we actually have a caller on the line from area code 321. So I'm going to bring you in, caller, and just to let you know. So, hi, this is Dory. You're here with me and Dr. Hibbert on Word of Mom Radio. Who's this, please?
This is Anne-Marie Wilson from Andover, Kansas.
Well, hi, Anne-Marie. Welcome to the show.
Hi, Anne-Marie.
Hi.
Thank you for calling me.
I made it.
Yay, Anne-Marie is in my personal growth group, and we're behind, so.
Yeah, it was perfect. It was such a perfect timing, because at the time
I'm a military spouse and a counselor, and my son was going through cancer treatment, and I came across Dr. Hibbert. I'm not sure how I did, but it was such a good time, and we were almost finished with treatment. We were doing our support group and creative arts, and when I came across, you know, her site and everything that she does, and then I found out she's doing This Is How We Grow group, and I said, what a wonderful blessing it is for me to grow with her, because I needed to understand, you know, exactly what I was going through as a mom, as a counselor, and now a caretaker. So it was just perfect, perfect timing.
Oh, thank you. It's been such a pleasure having you in the group.
What an interesting thing. Share what the group is all about, and how long have you been doing this?
I've been doing the group since last year, summer, I believe it was, and I got a chance to do the This Is How We Grow, and we went through the season, and at that time, my season was actually becoming the fall season. I didn't see spring, so I actually coincided with the season. I actually picked up on different things that I needed to do and to grow as a person and as a mom with the hectic schedule that I had, because I have three teenagers. And the group actually helped me to go through the season, recognize what season I was in, and then I could journal about it or meditate about it. So just going through the season with Dr. Hibbert was an experience, and it helped me
to grow. Thank you, Anne-Marie. So let me explain a little bit. So I started doing an in-person personal growth group five years ago. We're just starting our fifth year in person here in my town of Flagstaff with some women. And every year we just got people, new people coming in and coming back, and people that wanted to come from other areas, but we couldn't, you know, we didn't want to make the group too big. So I'd always been thinking about taking the group online. And this past year, in last September, I took the group online and started doing, I still did my in-person group, but then I would record a video of the lesson I teach each time and then put it on YouTube and send it out to those who are registered for the group. It's a free group. And then they can watch the video at their leisure and learn something. And last year's theme, as Anne-Marie is saying, was the seasons of growth. As I write about in my book, we didn't really talk about that earlier in the interview, but you know, I write about how, you know, we grow just like the seasons happen in life. And, you know, when you're in a fall, you need to accept that you're in a fall. And when you're in a winter, you know, darn it, you don't want to be there, but that's where you are. And there are things to learn at each season of life. So that's what Anne-Marie's referring to is we worked on that throughout the year with different lessons. And then we've taken a break for the summer. We're going to start up again in September with a whole new theme for the year for our season two online personal growth group.
That is so awesome. How do people join that group?
So they can go to my website, drchristinahibbert.com, which is D-R and Christina with a C-H, Hibbert, H-I-B-B-E-R-T.com. And you can just click, there's an icon right on the homepage that says join my personal growth group. You can click on that, and it'll take you to the link where you just put in your email information, and you'll start getting the lessons from last season, and then when the new season starts up, you'll get the new season. And you can also, if you're on Facebook, join our Facebook group. You can just ask to be added on Facebook. Look up the This Is How We Grow personal growth group on Facebook, and I can add you. And on Facebook, that's how I've gotten to know Anne-Marie, really, is just kind of comments on Facebook and, you know, just how everybody's doing. We kind of share with we're having a hard time. They can go on there and ask for advice and support. So it's been a really kind of a neat experience. And this year I'm going to try to add some more live events, like through Google Hangouts, and, you know, where I can interact more with the people online like I do with the people in my group, because it's been a really, I have to say, it's been an enriching experience for me all these years too, getting to learn from everybody else along the way. So we kind of are doing it together, growing together in this group. So.
Yeah, exactly. That
is so cool. You know, Anne-Marie, thank you so much for calling in. We actually have another caller on the line, and I'm going to have to bring them in. But
thank you, Anne-Marie.
So glad.
You're welcome.
Yeah, thank you so much for calling, and you have a blessed day.
Okay. You too. Bye.
caller from the 919 area code. Amy, is that you?
That's me, yeah.
Hi, Amy. Dr. Hibbert, meet
Hi.
Amy. Amy, Dr. Hibbert,
Hi.
This is Amy from
Hi,
the chat.
Oh,
Hi,
hello,
Dr. Hibbert.
Thank you. Hi.
Hi. Well, I just want to say thank you because when my brother died, I had he had cancer for a long time, but then we decided, my boyfriend and I decided we were going to move across the country. And I think we moved, and within a week we had lost two cats, our car died, we got stuck in a snowstorm, and my brother died.
Oh, gosh.
And we moved across the country. So your book really made us feel like, okay, we can get back on our feet again, and it's taken us a while, but now we're doing a lot better, and it's just nice to know that there's other people out there that have gone through it, and that there's a voice for us now. So it's been very helpful.
Oh, thank you. Thank you so much, and you're right. I think that I've heard a lot from people who've lost siblings because I know that, you know, a lot of us feel like, you know, sibling grief is something that people, you know, people think it's really awful if you lose your child. Of course, it is. It is awful. And, you know, to lose parents, especially for a young child like my kids had to go through. But, you know, a lot of people kind of forget how hard it can be to lose your sibling and that they're the people. There was a great quote a while back that said, that I heard somewhere that said, you know, when you lose a parent, you lose the past. When you lose a child, you lose the future. When you lose a sibling, you lose both because you have the past and you would have had the future. And so, you know, I'm very sorry for the loss of your brother, but I'm so glad to hear that the book in some way touched you or made you feel like you weren't alone. I mean, that's the best thing I could ask for.
Oh, yeah, because you notice that when spouses pass away and when, you know, when parents pass away, it seems to attract support, you know, like from the community or from friends. And then for the siblings, you kind of have to reach out to get it. And it's nice to know that we all have a little bit of a common voice because I think it's important to honor it, the grieving process,
absolutely.
Like no matter who it is.
Definitely. And you're so right. I've found that too, that there is a lot of support for other kinds of loss, and rightly so. But I'm trying to increase support for sibling loss because it is such a big experience, and it affects your life, support, family, and a lot of people just don't understand. So I'm glad to hear that you felt supported through your loss, and you know you're definitely not alone. I've been through it a few times. Unfortunately, it's like something I'm very good at now. And even my friend that died, it felt like losing another sister. So I just losses are in their own way, huh?
And I think it depends on the sibling, too, because my brother was my only sibling, and so I only have to go through it once. So but it's just like with every kind of grief, every situation is unique.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. So true. So true.
Yeah.
Well, thank you so much.
Yeah, you're welcome.
Amy, thank you so much for calling in. And, you know, I'm going to follow you on Twitter. I look forward to connecting with you. And I hope that you will go to drchristinahibbert.com and hit that button and join that group. I know I'm going to.
Yeah, I didn't know about the group.
Find
yeah,
what you're doing really, really interesting, and I really want to be part of it and see, you know, growth happens at all times in our life. And for some of us, it's through grief. For some of us, it's through joy that you just want to find new ways to grow in your life, and you know, I just really applaud what you're doing. I really do. I have, like I said, I have to
Thank
join.
You.
I have to see what this is all about because, you know, I absolutely love the book and can't wait to share it. You know, I have cousins who've lost two siblings, one to suicide and one to cancer. And, it's strange because when our aunt died, you know, my uncle, who it was their mom that died, she just died when they were, you know, my cousin was 12. And here's my uncle, he's 89. The man always has a song in his heart. He's always got a gleam in his eye. And when our aunt died a few years ago, my cousins were like, I just don't understand him. How can he always be smiling and this and that? And I just looked at him and I was like, you know what? Good for him. Good for him that he's buried his parents, all of his siblings, his first wife, two of his children, countless friends. and family, and he still has a song in his heart and a twinkle in his eye, and good for him that that's how he deals with things. What?
Absolutely.
Because you cry, it means he has to. You know,
right.
We all deal with things. It's interesting. 2020 did a study on longevity, and one of the biggest things they found is that the number one thing that everybody who lives, you know, 85, 95, 100 years, is their ability to cope with loss.
Oh, wow.
Because,
that's interesting.
Well, when you think about it, yeah, but when you think about it, you live that kind of a long life, you are going to lose a lot of people. You're definitely losing
that's
your
right.
parents. You're definitely, you know, there's a good chance you're going to lose spouses. There's a good chance you're going to lose children.
Yeah, absolutely.
And, you know, it's really true. And I always, you know, I always try to instill with my kids that when we lose somebody, the only way they're really gone is if we stop talking about them, if we don't take all of the wonderful things about them and bring them into our life.
Right.
You know, for years, you know, it's funny. It made me think of my son one point when I was reading your book. After my mom had died, my middle son was speech delayed, and my mother always understood him when he spoke. My mother-in-law, who was a speech teacher, would be like, when am I going to be able to understand this kid? And I was like, you know, just because you don't understand him doesn't mean he doesn't understand you. So don't talk like that in front of him. But my mom always, and I remember my son sitting there one day, and he was so sad. And I looked at him, and I said, honey, what's the matter? And he was like, you know, Mommy, losing Grandmama was more than just losing my grandmama. It was losing my friend. She always understood me when I spoke.
Oh.
And I looked at him, and I was like, honey, I can't do anything with you but cry. I said, if you want to sit and have a cry with me, we can do that. And he was like, okay. And he climbed in my lap, and we cried together for about 15 minutes.
Oh,
over the loss
yeah.
of my mom. You know, and then gave him a kiss,
yeah.
and, you know, we dried our tears, and I always tried, you know, to do those little things that always kept her spirit with them. And my daughter, it's funny because, you know, a lot of times in the book you talk about your dreams and the different dreams
yeah.
that you've had. And when my daughter, every night I kiss the kids goodnight and I'd be like, you know, sleep good. And, you know, we'd say our prayers and everything. And in the morning I'd wake her up and I'd give her a kiss and say, you know, did you have a good sleep? Did you have any good dreams? And she'd be like, no dreams, Mommy. And then one morning she woke up and she was like, I said, so did you have good dreams? She was like, I had a great dream. I said, you did? She said, Grandmama came to visit. And
aww.
Now my daughter was a year and a half when my mom died.
Wow.
And I was like, she did? And she goes, yep. I said, what happened? My mom came. They spent the entire day together. She made her breakfast. They went out to the park. They had
aww.
Lunch. They went to a movie. They went shopping. My mother gave her a bath. They made spaghetti together. And
aww.
Then my mom took Claire, sang her song, and put her to bed. And
oh,
every
so
once in a while throughout the years, I would say to her, did you have good dreams? And every once in a while, she'd be like, yep. And I'd be like, oh, Grandmama came to visit. She was like, yes. And they would,
aww.
My mother would come to her in dreams, and they'd spend an entire day together.
Oh, that
and
is so precious. Wow.
Isn't it? It really
yes.
is.
I love it.
Really, truly, I know. I know. And you know what? Sometimes those dreams can be really comforting. Your dreams in your book, some of the dreams that you shared were so hard and scary.
I had a lot of nightmares during that time, for sure. And I have a lot better, you know, I have a lot happier dreams now. You know, sometimes I have nightmares. But I had a lot of nightmares during that time. And it just kind of, to me, showed what was going on inside, that there was just so much emotional turmoil that I was trying to sort through that was just kind of making itself manifest through my dreams. So, yeah, that was a hard time for sure. Yeah, I want to say one thing about the personal growth group too, and even the book is just, and I think you touched on it as you were kind of sharing some of your experiences, is just that, you know, when we talk about the seasons of growth and when I share that in the book, that, you know, this isn't just the group and the book isn't just for people who've experienced death or loss. It's, you know, there's just a lot to relate to, just trying to get through life, or just being a mom and trying to manage, how do you manage as a mother, and how do you, like, you know, of course, what your show is all about, how do you add, you know, work and children and family and keep a house going and all of that too. So, you know, I hope people would still consider joining the group. It's not just a grief group. It's for, you know, we work on all seasons of life, like you said, whether it's I'm at a time of summer and I need to shine and I need to get out there and share what I've got with the world, but I don't know how to do it. Well, we work on all that. In fact, I'm pretty sure I've narrowed down our theme for the next year. I think we're going to work on, you know, how do we fulfill our kind of like figure out our purpose and fulfill some of our mission in life. So I think we're going to kind of focus on that this next year. So that'll be exciting.
That sounds so amazing. And, you know, I kind of have to laugh because I think of my mom during the summer when her birthday was September 6th. And every year I'd say to her, so mommy, what do you want for your birthday? She's like, you go back to school. It's present enough. And
that sounds like a good present to me too. Yeah.
I know. And she used to say to me every year, just think of my, when you have kids, just think of my birthday as your gift. Okay. Just remember that. And, you know, so I do, I mean, you know, what a challenge. How do you manage? I mean, that's part of what we talk about on the Mompreneur Model Show is that balance between building a business, raising a family. I mean, here you are, you're a psychologist, you're an author, you're a speaker, you're a mom of six, you're, you know, a this or that, you've got a husband, you know, you're a golf widow, it's summertime. So that's not like you
sure.
Quote in the book, you know, the golf mistress that you have to deal with, you know? I mean, my gosh, where do you find time for Christy? What does Dr. Hibbert end and Christy begin?
Yeah, that's a good question. It's something it's a work in progress, but it's something that's really important to me. And, you know, I've become pretty, what's the word? I don't know. I'm thinking forceful, but I'm thinking like, you know, I feel like my self-care is really important to me. And it's become even more important recently after my friend took her life, because I felt like she just couldn't, you know, she couldn't take care of herself. And it obviously led to tragedy. And so I feel really passionate about taking care of myself and making sure that I'm well. And I feel like this year I'm going to do the best job ever at it. I think that every year, but I really need to do that. And I do get burned out easily. It's very constant with six kids. Like I say, I always say that, you know, whether you have one kid or two or six or 10, they're kind of like air, you know, they fill up all your space, no matter how many kids you have. But with six, it is very constant. And when they have, even if one or two have problems, it can be very consuming and feel like it's just, there's constant needs and constant, you know, constant attention that needs to be with the kids. And I am home all the time. You know, I go to my practice one morning a week. I've cut back just to see a few clients a week, just because that, even just doing psychology and counseling, it that takes a lot from me emotionally too, and I just can't let myself get to that point where I get so drained and exhausted. So I only do that one morning a week, then I'm home. And when the kids are in school, like you said, it's kind of great because all my kids are in school now. My youngest is six. Like I said, my oldest is going to be going off to college, and so I can write while they're at school and do that. But I also try to, every afternoon, you know, I really, really work to take some time to lie down, to take a nap if I'm too tired and haven't been getting enough sleep, to read or even to watch a TV show, to zone out. I mean, whatever I need to do just to kind of, you know, relax a little bit, because heaven knows in the mornings and the nights, especially when school's going, you know, I have no time for me at all. So I have to find it there in the weekends too, that when the kids are around, it's all, you know, their needs can consume me. So I really feel like I have to fight for myself. I make sure that I am trying to get enough rest. I get up every morning and exercise, and I try to eat as healthy as possible, although I do love my dark chocolate, you know, and I do eat that a lot. But, you know, I try to be healthy as much as possible just so that I can have the energy to keep up too. And then, you know, it always sounds to people like I'm doing all this, and oh my gosh, how does she do it? People say that all the time to me. But it's like I really want to go on Facebook and just say, I know it seems like I'm doing all this, but, you know, you don't see me when I'm totally lazy and watching TV for 3 hours and watching The Bachelorette or whatever, you know. You don't see me when I'm having my emotional meltdown because my hormones have hit, and, you know, we don't post that kind of stuff online. Like, I'm a complete mess, and look at me. Here's my video of me acting crazy to my kids and my husband. So, you know, I feel like people can get an unrealistic, you know, perspective of people nowadays with social media. But heaven knows I have my moments all too often. So I really try to take care of myself.
Now, that makes me think of my Robbie, who is my speech-delayed child, who I, you know, somewhere in my 30s, like, the hormone fairy was really bad. And I can remember him. I had this special tea. It's called Mood Mender Tea, and it's actually really fabulous. It's a Celestial Seasons, caffeine-free. And every once in a while, he would come in, and he's like, here, Mommy, I brought you some mood tea.
And I'd be like,
exactly. And I was like, oh, I'm sorry, honey. You know, and he's like, why don't you sip this, Mommy, and relax for a little bit. I'm like, okay.
That's right.
Well, that was like if I was eating chips and dip, which my kids, if I had chips and dip going, they were like, whoa-oh, time to go. All right, Mom, we're going to go outside and play. It's like, okay, see you later. I'll save some dip for you.
That is so funny. I love it.
Hey,
it's so true.
You know,
I have my moments for sure.
Not for nothing. And you know what? It's interesting how you see that in the book. There are times where you'll look as after you've bit off your husband's head and spit down his neck, and then you've been like, oh, wow, yeah, it's that time of the month, huh?
Yeah. I know. I mean, just like last weekend, I had a total meltdown like a week ago. And I mean, I was sobbing, crying, and just like, and you know, I thought it was the grief still from my friend or, and I always go back to the same thing. My thing is always just like, why was I given 6 kids if I can't handle it? And here I am a mess again, and I'm breaking down again, and I'm crying, and I'm getting frustrated with everybody, and I'm yelling, and this isn't me. And, you know, I come up, and I'm sobbing for like an hour telling him all this, and he's patiently listening, and then finally he's like, do you think you're getting your period this weekend? And I was like, oh, yeah, I think I am. I go look on the calendar, and of course I am. He can just always tell. It's so true. So, yeah, they sometimes are better judge of what's going on than we are because we're in the midst of it. So,
yeah, you know, that's where Häagen-Dazs Swiss almond vanilla ice cream and a spoon come in really handy.
That's right. There's truth to this. I'm telling you, I write a lot about this on my website because hormones affect me so much. So there's a lot about that. If people want to learn more, go check it out. It's real, women. It's real.
I'm serious. You know, there comes that time where it's like, look, there's nothing wrong with comfort food. It is what it is. You know, whatever
right.
is going to get you through the hump, get over that. You know, it and
that's
but,
right.
Yeah,
take care
you know,
of yourself, get through.
Mm-hmm. You do, and it's an it really is a remarkable thing. You know, I remember my daughter as she was a teenager, and we were sitting watching a movie one time, and I cry at commercials. My daughter will tear up a little bit, but she was just, and I just looked at her, I was like, honey, do you have your period? And she was like, yes, how can you tell? I was like, Courtney, you're sobbing. She was like, is that why I cry all the time? I was like, yes. She's like, oh my God, when does that stop? Like, I don't know, menopause?
Yeah, exactly. I know, but we can help them at least understand. I mean, I feel like I have a duty to help all women and, you know, younger women, my daughters included, to understand so they don't have to be wondering for so long like I did. So, yeah.
Yeah, well, you know, the reality
our bodies,
is,
ladies.
You know, it's a really scary thing, but the truth is we really have 10 days a month where if we're losing our temper, it's not because of hormones. You just really kicked us off.
That's right.
You know?
That's right. You can't always blame it on that. That's right.
Exactly. The rest of it is just, you know, my son came home one day and he said, you know, Mom, I saw something. It said, how do you trust something that bleeds for 7 days and doesn't die?
Oh, gosh.
I was like, I don't know, but you better. And he was like, you're right, Mom. I trust you like crazy.
that's funny. My goodness.
And I have to say something about your dark chocolate thing. I just saw this post on Facebook today, and it said, you know, for you chocolate lovers, cocoa grows on trees. Cocoa makes chocolate. Therefore, chocolate must be salad. Enjoy.
Yes.
And dark chocolate, it is. I actually have shared Jean Kelsey on our show and the you know, and the medicinal
maybe
properties
in it. Maybe not in the quantities I consume sometime, maybe not in that quantity, but definitely it's healthy with a couple squares a day, I think. One or two would be fine.
There you go. You know, anyway. Hey, again, you have You have 6
That's right.
kids, a new book coming out, another one that you're writing, a husband that you take care of, a home you take care of, a practice, and lectures and groups that you run and everything else. It's dark chocolate gets you through it. Rock on, my friend.
Thank you. I appreciate your permission. I'm going to eat some today in your honor.
I mean, come on. You know,
that's
I mean,
right.
Good for you. Good for you that you are not, you know, it's amazing because, again, you don't know how strong you are until your strength is called upon.
That's right. And
I think of Mother Teresa. You know, you
mm-hmm.
think of Mother Teresa, and I remember reading once where she said, I know that God never gives you more than you can handle. I just wish he didn't think I was this strong.
Yes, I have heard
and
that
I can,
and thought that many times.
Right?
Yeah.
I, you know, I'm
yeah.
serious. Believe me, I have thought that too. I have felt that too. But then in the next breath, I'm like, you know what? Okay, I have to trust that God is never going to give me more than I can handle. Even when I don't think I can, he knows I can.
That's right, and that's the whole message of my book. You know, this is how we grow. Is I mean, I really do believe that 100%. I'm obviously a very spiritual person. I put a lot of that into my book, but
mm-hmm.
you know that I do feel like that there is meaning in the things that we're given and that we go through, and that you know, like I say in the book, you can go through it, or you have to go through it, or you can grow through it. And I really have grown so much through my hardest experience. I mean, they're the things that have taught me the most and made me the person that I am. And made me good at what I do. I mean, I wouldn't be a great mother. I wouldn't be a great psychologist or author. You know, I wouldn't be able to connect with people or understand and help people in the way that I can without those experiences. So I guess I'm glad that I am given what I can obviously handle that I don't think I can handle. But, you know, you're right. We always can. We can always handle it. We just have to, sometimes we have to toughen up and, you know, say, okay, I'm going to do this.
Well, you know, and sometimes it's okay. I think that's one of the things that you show so honestly in your book is that it is
yeah.
okay to have that meltdown. It is
absolutely.
Okay. There,
yeah.
you know, if we don't let those things out, that's when problems really begin.
That's
I am
right.
sure you have to see that as a psychologist, that those people that can't let their feelings out are
right.
the ones that implode. People
that's
like
it.
Us,
that's exactly
who,
it.
This is how you're feeling. You let it out and everything else. That's why we don't have an ulcer.
Right. That's right. It's the key to your emotional health, to your physical health, to your spiritual health. I mean, we do have to feel what we feel and go through it. And you know, you have to have your downtime. You have to have all the seasons, like I say. You know, you have to have the winters, too. You can't just gloss over the winters and be trying for the spring and summers all the time. You know, you have to feel and go through those experiences. Absolutely. Otherwise, it does. It'll break you down for sure.
Yeah, I agree, because way too often we feel like, oh, if we let somebody know that we're in pain or whatever, then it makes us seem needy or we're vulnerable, whatever.
Right.
And, you know, it is what it is. I mean, after my mom died, it was 3.5 years before I wore mascara on my bottom lashes, because
oh,
I never
yeah.
knew when I was going to cry. I never,
right.
ever knew when I was going to cry. And if I
right.
cried, I cried. I never... You know, I didn't, oh, I can't cry now. No, if I felt like crying, it didn't matter if I was sitting at a softball game, you know.
Right, exactly.
You know?
And that's
exactly.
good. Yeah,
I mean,
you let yourself feel what you feel when you feel it, and you know that you will get through it. I think a lot of people are afraid to feel because they're afraid they're going to get stuck there forever, but you won't. You know, you won't let yourself get stuck there forever, and, you know, you'll feel it, and eventually you'll be sick of it, and you'll want to get out of it. So, you know, that's how it goes.
I can't believe I just got our 90-second call on this, saying that there's only now probably a minute left. I
should have
done a two-hour show. I know. You know, Sam, serious. We're going to have you back. We're going to have
I
have
would
you
love
back
that.
Before
I
your
agree.
Book comes out. Yeah, because you know what? I so applaud what you are doing, what you are sharing, how open and honest and candid you are about the things that you've gone through. Please. Read this book. I'm serious. This is how we grow. And you can go to thisishowwegrow.com. You can find it on
yep.
Amazon. You can find it. And it is really a fabulous book. Read it, share it, and just you'd be surprised how it will touch you and make you look at things that you might not have thought about. And I just thank you so much. Please share something that you want to share before you leave.
Well, I just am grateful to be here, and I just hope everybody knows that you're not alone, and, you know, whatever season you're in, but I hope you'll, you know, connect with me and we can go through it together, or grow through it together, rather. So check me out on my website, drchristinehibbert.com. I look forward to meeting you there.
I am putting up
your website.
Oh, my pleasure. I'm putting up your website in our chat room so everybody can click the link. And I thank you so much for sharing with me today. It has just been a pleasure connecting with you. I look forward to continuing to connect with you and speak with you and share you. And for those of you tuning in, thank you so much for being here with us today on Word of Mom Radio. We'll be back on Tuesday with Social Media Help Not Hype and Janice Clark. And until then, go out and create a marvelous you. Bye for now.
Bye-bye.